Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
Travis, Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns. It's finally official for the Elimination Chamber in Montreal. It feels like this happy coincidence that they're in Montreal for this match. What'd you think of the angle to make this official tonight?
I thought it was okay.
Elaborate.
It was perfectly serviceable. it's the one thing. It was fine. Like it's going to get us from point A to point B in a timely fashion. They don't have all day to get to this particular match. What is it, the 18th or 17th or something like that? So, they've got only a few more SmackDowns before the pay-per-view for the premium live event. It did what it had to do, Wade.
So what did you sound unimpressed though. What did you not like, or what were you looking forward to here that you didn't get?
I don't know. It's probably my own personal expectations.
Yeah,
that were maybe a bit too high. Like I came into Monday and was really excited to watch Raw, and Raw was just okay, and it was Cody's show, and we just got the recap. I'm like, oh, all right, they're going to save me for SmackDown. Ooh, they're going to, make me wait. And it was perfectly fine. Again, it was they just, did the whole thing. It was the main event segment, and we just saw that. Like, I get the title match and was established, but I don't know, Wade. There was something about it that left me a bit wanting.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough. I thought Sammy's first words since the breakup felt more just sort of standard yelling. I want you. I never wanted anything from you till now, but I want this. And it got to the point, but it was like this enraged Sammy who just flipped against Roman. And if I was hoping for anything else, and I think there might be time for it, but I certainly don't want to swerve. Like, he's acting like he regrets anything. Like, I don't want any of that games. Like, obviously he's meant, but hearing more from Sammy about what drove Roman to snap and have Sammy lay his heart out there a little bit and explain even to the audience what it was that made him want to be part of the Bloodline and why he soured on it, what that moment was, and what was going on in his head when he flipped that switch. Obviously the crowd was going nuts for this. And, I mean, they're booing Cody, which we'll get into, because they like Sammy better right now in that audience. And functionally it worked, but the storyline so far with Sammy has been so good, in part because it felt like it was more than what we normally get from pro wrestling. And this felt like what we normally get from pro wrestling. And it's a super over babyface and a super charismatic heel doing some great work and a gang beating up that babyface with unfair numbers. And it's a good angle with wrestlers who are getting a big crowd response, and that's good. But there is something about this moment where you think the first time we hear from Sammy, there's going to be more than just him yelling, I never want anything from you until now. Because that's not – doesn't really ring true.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, he wanted acceptance. And I think people just wanted to hear Sammy say, I was with you guys for this reason. And then you went after, you just took things too far. You always take things too far. I learned that as it was going. You played head games with me that went too far. You list off a bunch of things, and you went too far when it came to taking out an enemy of yours in KO. I think there was more to be said than just yelling. So That's what I don't know if that's what you're kind of getting at or not, but when Sammy first yelled, you know, those lines and asked for the match, I was like, I don't know. I guess I wanted something a little more nuanced and a little less enraged from him.
Yeah, and this, I get the psychology behind that. Like, that's his reaction.
It's not bad.
Running in and jumping Roman and pounding away. It was just everything was immediately thwarted. He immediately got stopped by Roman, who was on his back. Sammy had all the advantage. Snuck him from behind. The sneak attack worked. And he's mounting the guy and just raining the blows down. And he just stops him and completely turns the tables and beats him up. And then Sammy gets a rest because Roman decides, let me take 7 minutes to get a chair. And he hits him with a really sweet spear. Like, oh, we're back on track. Totally, I understand it. You know, Sammy's not going to dominate Roman, so this makes more sense. And then Jimmy and Solo, it was just like, all right. And they beat him up. And I was fine with how he phrases asking for the match and screaming. Like, again, I got the intensity behind, you know, the psychology behind that. Like, it's an intense moment. He's enraged. Still took the opportunity to get that new shirt on screen.
Hey. He's got mouth to feed, Travis.
And then Roman turns the tables like, oh, I want you in Montreal. As if Sammy was asking for a match next week on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So Roman's just like, oh, I want you at them. And they just completely turned and gave everything to Roman. I was like, I get it. You know, they're pouring some heat on him, but the heat was already there. Like, yo, poured that heat. I can't get two shows in a row, or not even two shows in a row, because they beat the crap out of him in the pay-per-view. But can I get something from Sam? Can Sammy run away before he gets his ass kicked? Can he hit and run instead of hit and stick around to get beat up by the gang?
First of all, I don't think this was bad.
Absolutely.
On like almost any other standard, getting that kind of crowd response and stuff is fantastic. But I explained what I was looking for. You kind of explained what you were looking for. Alex McDonald over on, I'll read what he said about the angle, just to add it from perspective, because he goes, this is at pwtorch.com. I do SmackDown reports on Fridays. Alex McDonald does alternate perspective ones. Basically, they're just side-by-side reports. You can get differing opinions. And he said, excellent. Everything about that was perfect. Before I elaborate, did anyone else hear the boos for Cody when Reigns mentioned his name? Could have been just me. Between that, the constant chants for Sammy, then a chant for Jay, crowd is all over this segment. It's a shame that the end sequence with Reigns talking to Sammy was probably not heard of the arena. But he says, this is the type of, Zayn was awesome here. And I love that he's showing no fear and going right after Reigns. It was really well done. This is the type of babyface character he should be. He's not a badass and that's fine, but he won't quit and he won't take no for an answer. I'm shocked that this turned so quickly. We're going to see this match so soon, but I can't wait for the moment when they stand across from each other. I know that it's Montreal and not Philadelphia, but I really hope there isn't a crazy riot when Reigns beats Sammy. So, Jay Paul over at ProWrestling.net said another very compelling segment to close the show. Crowd went nuts for Sammy. They're invested in him emotionally. Roman remains WWE star performer. His intensity and trash talk at the end of the show was excellent. Just another piece of evidence as to why he's the biggest star in wrestling. And I say that because I read their reviews right after, I think I expected more enthusiasm from you when I asked you, but I did have that question when I read their good reviews going, I kind of was left wanting more, but there's time for it. And again, we go live right after the show's over. But as I was talking to you and kind of thinking it through, I'm like, to me, it seems like Sammy should be more broken up over this long quest for something that it turns out he had to spend the last week, the last 6 days thinking, what was I thinking all this time? These people are scum. And we just didn't get him articulating that. There wasn't nuance. There wasn't angst. There wasn't. So I think there's many ways to do this well, and I think this was one of the good ways to do it. But I didn't think it was excellent, and I think there was an opportunity to do more. I'm not saying I can just sit here and on the spot book it as refined and perfect as I think a better alternative would be. But I think I know what I felt as a viewer. I'll just say that. And I wanted to hear something different from Sammy other than I never wanted anything from him. Like the first line out of his mouth was a lie.
And I get what he want, what he's saying. He didn't want anything tangible, although acceptance is very tangible.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But he didn't want a shot at his title. He didn't, like Heyman said, he didn't want to take over the thing. He just, you know, he just wanted dudes to hang out with and that liked him for him and accepted him for who he was, not riches or power or position from you.
Yeah, and I guess I'd like to have
but still,
heard.
You did want something. Don't say a blatant lie. You know.
Yeah, I
want
to hear him tell me as a viewer
and
following the storyline. Yes, and well, maybe. I mean, I hope so. I hope we get a sit-down interview, you know, with Sammy, with Michael Cole asking him questions, or Kayla interviewing him in the middle of the ring and the crowd going nuts for him, and Sammy, you know, being a little more introspective and talking about this roller coaster ride they put him on. Yeah. Because people were always for Sammy, and they wanted Sammy to be in the bloodline. Like, they were rooting for it. And, you know, not like ironically wouldn't be fun if, but they wanted it simply because Sammy wanted it. And they wanted Sammy to get what Sammy wanted, even if they didn't think what Sammy wanted was the best thing for him. Mm-hmm. And that has to be part of the follow-up, I think. You can't just have Sammy just go, I want your title, and I'm going to yell. And that's what we got.
Yeah, I'd like to – I wonder if the pay-per-view wasn't until, you know, if it was the third week or fourth week of the month, would that
right,
if they had
right.
One more show before,
yep.
Would things just be paced a little differently? Would Sammy's first, you know, words be something a little more controlled and
sure, yeah,
but,
I know what you're, yeah. I know what you're saying. I mean, it's just a little compressed. Because, frankly, if they knew they were going to Roman Sammy at the Chamber and they knew the gap between the Rumble and the Chamber, you know, they had a challenge on their hands in order to, you know, pace the story at the same pace we've grown accustomed to in for months and months.
We knew this when they released the poster in, like, November or October. Yeah. We were talking about it on an East Coast cast, like, okay, if this is the Sammy Roman match and we're kind of like just fantasy booking and like this is the has to be the pacing, something has to happen by the Rumble, and it did. But maybe even before then, it's just, yeah, if we were thinking about it 4 or 5 months, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, I'm pretty sure they were. And it's just hopefully just one of those things. And next week we're not even, you know, the follow-up is just so good and or so compelling or whatever, you know, it potentially turns out to be that we don't even think about this thing that we admit was, you know, at least okay.
Oh, yeah.
On the higher end, it was excellent, not, like some folks are saying. So
I'm not trashing it. I really am just relaying.
Absolutely.
Emotionally, I felt I was left wanting, you know, a little bit more, but I don't, you know, it's not
or different, not even more, just
yeah, there you go.
Something a bit different and
yeah. And that said, Montreal's going to be wild. I mean, that's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Cody situation in a bit with you, but let's pause and formally introduce the show and also introduce callers and emails into the mix. We have an outside correspondent we'll be getting to in a bit too, who attended tonight. I'm very much looking forward to hearing what it was like in the building, including some maybe in-person insight on the booing of Cody's name and what that portends. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, February 3rd, 2023. And I'm Wade Keller, the host of the program, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter and the website pwtorch.com and the host of a variety of podcasts, some free, some just for VIP members. So go check out details on VIP membership and sign up at pwtorch.com/govip. If you like our brand of wrestling coverage, VIP membership gives you an ad-free experience with all our free shows and then a ton of exclusives that I think you'll love. So check it out if you haven't treated yourself to a membership yet, pwtorch.com/govip. You can catch up on our Royal Rumble roundtable that was just for VIP members from Saturday night. Kelly Wells and Todd Martin, part of that. and so much more. The other voice you hear is Travis Bryant from the long-running PW Torch East Coast cast. Little change lately. Travis, welcome back to the co-host chair.
Appreciate it, Wade. Thanks for the invite.
So tell people about the East Coast cast, Travis.
Well, the East Coast cast has, at least the live show, has recently come to a 13-year end.
No.
We did. I should have reminded you, like, hey, don't throw it to me on the East Coast cast. But
No, that's why I did it.
Well,
purely,
Rich and I are still around for VIP. We're
exactly.
You know, old school days.
I just did a VIP plug. I threw it to you. The whole the implication was you'd be like, well, in the past, Wade, people could hear me for free every week. But speaking of VIP, if you want to hear me every week now, Rich.
Hey, I'm rusty.
I should have sent you the memo.
That's what happens when you're not live every week. Rich and I are back behind the paywall exclusively. We're talking mostly post AEW stuff because Rich reviews and recaps that show, and all kinds of fun off the beaten path. It is not your typical pro wrestling podcast. For a while there, we talked about everything but wrestling, and some weeks it's like that. But Rich and I have a ball, and we're there every week, at least most weeks, Wednesday night. So that's posted Thursday morning. So check those out on Torch VIP.
Real cool mix of VIP exclusive shows, and the VIP East Coast cast is one of them. Yeah. All right. We want to hear from you guys, our listeners. Give us a call, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. And when you call push 1 on your keypad, that flags you on our switchboard so that we know you're not just calling to listen in, but you're calling and want to be brought into the conversation. You can also email us at WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. If you want to be an on-site correspondent for a future Raw, Dynamite, or SmackDown, email me at WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com and put the name of the city and the date in the subject line. And I'll be in touch. We like hearing from people in the building, getting a sense of what it was like on site and getting some off-air details and that kind of thing. And we are anticipating hearing from Bradley in just a bit in that regard. You can also email the show right now if you're live streaming us and give us your comments on the show. All right. So speaking of which, let's transition to calls. I got a lot more I want to talk about on SmackDown. I have a feeling we'll hit on them naturally through our phone calls and emails. But if not, we'll certainly insert those topics as we go. And we'll begin with Chris from Warner Robins, Georgia. Chris, thanks for calling. What's in your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade and Travis. Just looking at this whole storyline and, like, the stuff beforehand, it was good seeing Roman kind of frazzled. Like, you know, somebody said he's like the on Twitter, somebody said that he's like the black dad who hollers at you and then apologizes for food. I know that. But thing about it is that, like, noting the Cody situation, like, they have to play this really carefully how they do this. And the thing about it is, does Cody have to win the match? The thing is, I was looking at, like, Roman, and still you get that feeling like, this guy shouldn't lose. He, like, literally, like, 1,000 days is a nice round number for him to, like, go in and, like, you know, if he comes short of Cody beats him, and, like, does Cody really have to win this?
Travis, I'll throw it to you. Do you think Cody wins at WrestleMania? It doesn't seem like they're doing one belt where Cody can win one but not the other, and they kind of go halfway with it. They're not hedging in that way. And again, some of this, I mean, even if they want Cody to win, if the crowd starts booing the heck out of him because they resent that Sammy's not in that spot, that could be a problem. I don't think we're there yet, and I don't even think that's likely. But in that sense, it's a good thing Elimination Chamber is sooner than later so they can get past Sammy, which is awful to say because that is the match people want to see, and then work their magic to try to get people to care as much or adequately about Cody.
Was that for me, Wade?
Yes.
What was the original thing before you went off on?
I made several points in there. You can respond to any of them. But the caller asked, does Cody have to win?
Yes, he does. He's I think I'm with you that caller that Roman should. If Roman was champion 1,000 days from today, I'd be fine with it. If it's the same reign, I'd be absolutely okay with us talking in 2027 or so about Roman Reigns or this epic title reign. But there are people, and I don't want to give in to like the vocal minority, but I think it's more than it's a growing minority who are like, I'm sick of the bloodline. We've seen it. And there are various kayfabe and non-kayfabe reasons for wanting to see it cheats every week, or he's the same storyline, it's the same formula, whatever it might be. There is enough people that I think are done with it. That if you had another big match, especially with somebody like Cody, with the whole thing built up and the video packages and the injury and everything, and then he didn't win, I think it could get ugly. But he's a heel and it's already kind of baked in. But Cody has to win. They can't do the whole thing and they come back.
What if the crowd's booing him? What if he's not that over? What if they're cheering him but only sort of, we kind of like you? Do you end the Reigns reign over for a guy who it's not a guarantee in a month and a half people are going to be super into him? I mean, I hope they are, and my money would be on the fact that they'll be behind him, but I'm not sure, and I don't think they are either.
I think Cody is going to be absolutely fine come, April 7th or whatever it is. Going into the Rumble, I was ABC, anybody but Cody. I don't care. I think Vince McMahon was right in 2012 or whenever, or 15 when Cody left.
And he said he was too Swiss?
Yes. He said these damn millennials and their Swissness.
Wait, that was someone else.
It's working, and it's working for a lot of people, and it's working on TV, and it's working at pay-per-view. I mean, no one was upset that Cody Rhodes, in a match where we saw Rhea Ripley go from coast to coast, in the same match where we saw Gunther go almost coast to coast, we let Cody Rhodes come in at 30. Like, it's like this returning conquering hero. Like people didn't get upset. There was but I didn't hear people rumbling and grumbling about that. And that would have been a clear indicator of how people feel about Cody. Like, you're going to let this guy come in number 30 with the guy who we all like and respect, certainly Gunther, and who's, I think, a made man now after that performance on Saturday. And nobody cared. Or they bought into what they ate what they were fed and swallowed what they were fed, happily licked their lips and asked for seconds. It was, Cody's going to be fine. I thought they played it fine tonight with Roman. I thought there was something they did where I was like, don't make the crowd. They put the crowd in the position to boo Cody when Roman puts him over and saying, oh, he's a guy I can respect. It's like, whatever the line was. And
we should be talking about Cody. Yeah.
Cringed a tiny bit you guys would be asking for that.
It might have been a test, Travis. It might have been let's see what happens if we drop his name. I don't think it was intentional sabotage, but I think you're right in observing that it almost invited boos in contrast to Sammy just days after the big turn.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're not giving – they're back to Sammy. I don't think they're going to give him a ton of physical heat headed into this, because that's another thing they want to make very clear. Like this – like Sammy's not that guy. And we're going to – in a respectful pro wrestling way, not goat face, look at you ugly so-and-so or whatever they did. It's not Daniel Bryan. They'll tell the story, but they're going to – tell the story and be decisive with their storytelling. Again, in a respectful, main event kind of way. But,
yeah. All right, we'll go back to Chris. Any follow-up on any of that or a different topic?
Actually, well, the thing is, the next thing is Jay. The thing is trying to figure out where they're going to go with them, because somebody pointed out a extra wrinkle in this, that the Usos really can't go to Montreal because of their DUIs. So how do they handle this? That's the question.
Travis, talk about that specifically and kind of Jay in general and how that was handled tonight.
Yeah, I don't know how they'll handle it come the actual Montreal show. They'll handle it by him not – one or both of them not being there, whatever the situation calls for. How they get around it could be like anything else. It's just a matter of what's the creative around it, what's the built-in kind of – or what's the story that they tell. I'm less worried about that than Cody being booed. Like they'll be fine. They'll work their way around it. They have to. And Jay individually was arguably the best thing about Saturday. That whole angle after the match, I thought him standing there with the reliving that trauma and that PTSD. I think the layers of him at the same time being super pissed off at Sammy was probably a bit jealous. Like, because Sammy had the guts to do what obviously Jay certainly wanted to do 2 years ago. He's been doing all right for himself, you know, the last couple of years. But, you know, we remember. So I think him just reliving that trauma and his reaction when he's slapping his hand, I called you my brother, just the – yeah, he was the best thing about Saturday in a lot of ways.
Where do Jimmy and Jay end up, say, in May? I know that's a big ask of you right now, but like, does it seem obvious? To, oh, they end up together again, they're tag champs, or oh no, they lose to Braun and Ricochet, and Jay and Jimmy go their separate ways, and Jimmy stays in the Bloodline. Does Jimmy join Jay and break up with Roman, and you got Roman and Solo against Jimmy and Jay? What options are out there? What do you think is most likely?
I don't know. Jimmy kind of, after all the storyline, how he was the buddy and he was the trusting one, he turned out to be a bit of a bitch ass. You know, the first one to attack Sammy and just the
did it ring true to you?
The lack of it rang true in the sense of that's how it be sometimes. Like it, like I'll think of like either starting like a new job or, and I'll look like 6-8 months a year in. It's like, wow, I'm really cool with that guy or that woman who my first 3 weeks here, I thought, oh, here's my arch. There's my nemesis at this place because I hate them. And then it turns out like, oh, well, I got to know them and we had lunch or whatever. And they were really cool. And we're look at this. You know, look at us. Who thought we'd be here? Not me. Kind of moment. And it'd be the ones that you thought you was super down with that'd be the first ones ready to, you know, he didn't have any compassion, no kind of like, what are you doing? He just kicked them in the face. And Solo, you know, he's just ready. He just wants to thumb somebody in the throat. That's all. And they need to be careful with that. He's just beginning to be too much of a goon, too much of a... Like, so I get it. They want him to be a silent, strong type, but I don't want that to be his personality. Especially six, 8 months in. Like,
he was so dry. He was so hard to read. He was stoic and blank-faced, and it was almost more intimidating wondering what he was thinking than having him be the eager assassin who's like, oh, Reigns got to stop him. Roman's got to stop him. And, you know, yeah, I'm less – it's not like a – it's not like a bad thing, but I'm just less intrigued with Solo and where he's going now that he's just showing that he's almost like Butch. Like, you know, Roman had to hold him back today. No, I know you're bloodthirsty, but let me hold you back from doing something because I'm going to be more level-headed. I got some words to say first. And you know, it does eliminate some of the things that I imagined might be the direction Solo's character goes. And it's not to say he can't still go there, but the journey isn't as much of a straight line towards some other options that were out there. But, you know, part of me just like any kind of picking apart of the Bloodline storyline, any second guessing, it's like there's enough stuff that's been done so phenomenally well. And the players, especially Roman, Sammy, and Heyman, and heck, Jay and Jimmy too, and Solo. Just there's less of a track record, but they've all been so good, and they're going to continue to be good and more than good in what they're asked to do. So even if I sit here and go, oh, I wish we had more time, or I wish they did something different, or I'm not so sure about this, I'm along for the ride, and I'm still trusting that ultimately, even if I'm left wanting something more or not quite sure if I love something, overall, it's still going to go down, barring some complete catastrophe I don't expect. This is one of the, you know, better, more talked about storylines of all time.
Already has.
Yes. They can only screw it up now because it's already in that spot. You know what I mean? Like, if they just stop now, it's like a no-hitter through eight. You know, do you want to put him back out there if the arm's a little tired? Well, you know, yeah, let's go for the true no-hitter. But at this point, it is that good through this length of time. Yeah. All right, Chris, back to you.
We pivoted a little bit. They were saying that Vicky Guerrero and Shaw Guerrero are not fans of Dominic's, like, you know, kind of aping of Eddie Guerrero. And I was, like, wondering, like, you know, should they be angry or should they be more, you know, just kind of passing off of it and, like, you know, just saying, like, well, we trust Ray to do his thing.
Well, Travis, what do you think? Anything to be upset about?
I don't think so. It's just that, like, we think, like, he's trying to get over. Like you don't know how this works.
Yeah.
Like, what would do anything? Hang on to anything that hooks people, that connects, that like, it's just, I don't know. I thought that was a bit much. But the last thing I saw or read was she was okay with it and supports Dominic and Rhea Ripley. I was like,
course,
you should. Like, it's not anything offensive that they're doing. Besides, you could say, well, he's doing the prison thing. Ray didn't, or Eddie never went. You know, it was overtly like a ex-con or anything.
Yeah, I'd have to find out more what they're upset about. Like, yeah. I mean, when you're part of WWE canon, when you sign that contract, when you perform for them, barring something like Owen Hart, where, you know, a decision led to a death with a stunt, you know, and the wife being openly upset with how WWE handled things that night and since then, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's like, so, you know, I don't think they should be doing a bunch of Owen storylines with or you know, callbacks and stuff without the approval of the widow. But with Eddie, it's like his character's canon. His character's beloved. And Dominic pulling from Eddie's history with Ray and him, and I mean, I don't know. I mean,
and is he beyond the kind of heelish, you know, the Three Amigos? I guess you could say, well, he's got the haircut.
Yeah, that's the hair. That's not common.
But beyond that, it's like,
yeah. I don't think people watching this are thinking Dom is doing a, like, total takeoff on Eddie. I don't think it's – yeah, I just – I don't
think
it's
wrong if they did say that.
Yeah, Dominic is Dominic. He's his own guy. Sure. It's working there. You don't – if Eddie Guerrero did not exist ever, was never brought up in the storyline, what they're doing feels totally natural. There's not – it's not like, what's Dom doing? Oh, he's cosplaying Eddie or he's pulling from Eddie too much. What do you think, Chris?
I mean, I'm fine with it. I mean, the thing is that, like, there's nothing, like you said, she signed a contract in canon, and not to mention they had Nyla Rose riding the lowrider with her saying there's part of Eddie's legacy. So what makes a difference here?
Yeah, I don't see it as a big issue. Anything else, Chris?
No, sir. I was just glad to talk to you guys tonight.
Cool. Appreciate you calling. Thanks.
Welcome.
All right, we're going to go to William. Oh, William. San Diego dropped off. All right. So we'll go to another Chris. Chris in Oklahoma. Chris, welcome. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Well, I was, excuse me, you kind of elaborated on it earlier. Whenever Roman mentioned Cody Rhodes at the beginning of it and got the boos, and Cody got the boos, and then hearing the pop of Sammy, I'm just wondering if there's any chance after Elimination Chamber of the fans doing pulling a Bryan Danielson and hijacking the show because he didn't get it. And that's my question to you and Travis.
So at what a, at did you make
at the, after the chamber? After the chamber, is there a Danielson kind of 2014 reaction from the crowd?
2014 reaction from the crowd.
No, because unlike what Daniel Bryan was doing in 2013, granted he was having great matches and with Kane and the Shield, and like that kind of led to people liking him, but he wasn't in the best thing on TV week in and week out. He wasn't in, you know, arguably the best storyline in the last 25 years. Sammy's been a integral part of a great thing for a long time and is going to get a big time payoff match, presumably with some promos and stuff leading into it that make us all, you know, feel good and remind us why we love pro wrestling. We're going to get that stuff. Brian didn't get any. He got the opposite in 2013. So there was a reason they took over and hijacked the show and made it all about him, no matter the company trying to make it about anybody but him. Has completely different situations, personalities, pushes, de-pushes, whatever you want to call what they were trying to do to Brian in, at the you know, summer, fall 2013. So no. They're going to give the crowd what they want, and so they don't have to. Yeah, no, it's not. And I think the audience also understands not that they're smarter than they were, you know, 7-8 years ago, but I think they're just in a different position. They get Sammy's been treated excellently, and he's not some goat face guy that the company hates and doesn't want to push. But
I agree that the resentment won't be Sammy didn't get a push. The question, I still think Cody's in a tough spot. And if it weren't for his history in AEW, I think I'd still be a little concerned because of the history with, you know, Batista and Bryan and just the baggage of WWE choosing the non-indie guy over the indie guy, or the non-legacy name versus a legacy name, or whatever the circumstances where people think the decision-making by those in power is worse. But it's not Vince McMahon in control. It's Paul Levesque. And I think the fans who would be vocal against Sammy not just committing to Sammy, the baggage isn't there that was there with Vince McMahon. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's something to watch, but I still don't know what they're going to do in Montreal. Like, I mean, Travis, what do they do with Sammy and Roman? Does Roman just win clean? And it's their way of telling people, if you got behind Sammy, you might want to look over at Cody. He's got a better chance to beat him. Sammy's future is in the tag division. I mean, like, do you just kind of deflate Sammy in what fans have built him up to be with a more decisive loss to kind of send that message, or is that playing with fire?
I think they're just going to have to make some big boy decisions.
For sure.
You know, have Roman beat the guy in a clever way, in a satisfying way, in a way that we understand, like, this was the shot. This was the chance. Or no, you know, and he came up short. And that happens. And just have some faith and hope that your audience accepts the story that you told them about Sami Zayn and his run to the title. I mean, he shouldn't have this match at Elimination Chamber. It literally changed the pay-per-view because he's a hot act, and that one-on-one match makes more sense than, you know, Roman defending versus five other guys.
One of whom is Sammy, who may or may not be on Roman's side. Like, I'm still in my mind, am playing that out as what if that is the direction they took? What if there was an ambiguity with Sammy? Because the last 2-3 weeks felt compressed. It felt like bang, bang, bang. Things happen. I don't care what they say.
So fast.
It feels like between last Friday and the two Fridays.
Going back to
Monday,
the tribal court.
Yeah, it just seems like what happened between Friday and Monday was an acceleration and a leap forward. And I am curious where we would be as far as the Sammy saga goes if Sammy just was one of the people who qualified for the chamber and Roman is saying, Sammy, we know you're going to do the right thing. And Sammy didn't, and he won. The problem is, unless you go back to the rumors that Roman was going to defend the title twice, which I think people thought, well, want to be Rock, want to be Cody, or want to be a tag match involving Rock and want to be one-on-one with Cody. But would you have rather had a scenario where Sammy wins the chamber, but then he's champion, not earning a title shot? So that kind of screws that, because I'm like trying to talk through, like, how do you get to a point that seems better had they taken a different route? Does anything come to mind as I'm kind of, you know, thinking out loud here?
Not particularly. I mean, the only thing that I think people understand know that they're not going to end Roman's, you know, historic reign in February when WrestleMania is in April. But that's not going to happen.
No,
like no matter what the situation was, whether it's a one-on-one match with Sammy or Roman defending against five other. Or at least, you know, booked against five other individuals.
If they had a chamber that Sammy was in but Roman wasn't, and it earned a title shot, that doesn't even make sense because Cody won the Rumble and they're not splitting the title. So I just don't – with all that, you know, I just don't know how they would have done that. If Roman's defending the title, he's going to have to win, and he beats Sammy in a non-one-on-one match. He outlasts Sammy, and then they kick the can down the road until after. I guess the idea would be Reigns wins the chamber – and then Sammy doesn't break up yet, and they delay that till May. That'd be the other route, and then they can there'd be more breathing space for Sammy Roman. But they have other things in mind that they want to do. Otherwise, you know, they've done that. And also, Sammy right now is red hot. Turning him and not risking waiting too long is absolutely prudent. You know, I mean, you can totally see their argument there, their decision there. And being in Montreal, that's a special moment. And so, you know, I mean, that's what I say. Is even if you kind of just kick the tires, and
they're going to do mark it here.
Yeah,
they're going to do the Triple H special from, you know, like what he did with Jericho, where Jericho won the title and they reversed it, or I think Benoit had a similar thing happen like 2 or 3 years later, where he beat Triple H on TV. For the title, and some kind of bureaucracy happened, and here comes a ref or whatever it was. We're going to get a version of that in Montreal.
To avoid a riot in Montreal?
No, to stoke one. Like, what I'm thinking is going to make people piss off because the Sammy's going to win, and then they're going to take it back and Roman.
Well, Hulk Hogan beat Nick Bockwinkel for that AWA championship before he jumped to the WWF, and the fans left the arena thinking Hogan is a new champion. The local news showed clips of Hulk Hogan holding the title up and Eye of the Tiger playing. And then it was on the next TV show that they explained Lord James Blair's got knocked out.
Over the top rope or something.
Yeah, or it was a DQ first and whatever. I mean, yeah, I watched that again a couple years ago. And I mean, so, you know, they could do that, but I mean, it's been done before. I would not advise it. But yeah, that's going to be wild. All right, Chris in Oklahoma. Back to you. Anything else you want to say?
The other thing is, with it being a disputed championship, do you think they should have already split them up, or do you think that it's okay having them both around Roman's waist going into Mania?
I mean, obviously, there's an obvious positive to having a championship title on each, a world title with all the lineage, one on each show. Having one men's world title match to headline each side of WrestleMania, for Mania is going to be two nights. There's obvious advantages to it, but the disadvantages are substantial. And one of them is the intangible of not having this sort of secondary, not really the world champion, like Alberto Del Rio or, you know, whoever. I mean, pick your assortment of the people who were never felt like the true centerpiece champion because everybody knew it was John Cena or everybody knew it was whoever. And you don't have that now. You've got one world champion who happens to carry around two belts, and WWE is experiencing really good business right now. You know, say what you will about however they accumulate their stats on Peacock. I do believe the numbers are way up. It's not, you know, super transparent what they count, how they count it, but attendance is hot. Ratings have been good. Crowd reactions are crazy good. Things are working. And part of the reason for that is having, even though there's two belts, a singular world champion who's as good as Roman is. If they split the belts, the other guy is going to pale in comparison. This isn't a Rock Austin thing, you know, where it's like, well, we got two top stars or co-equals. Let's just give them each a show. Which, I mean, literally is what Vince McMahon told me on the phone when he was like contemplating a brand split. And he's like, and he just said, wait, do you think people will just watch a show with Rock and a show with Austin if they're exclusively on one and not the other? And will that make people watch both shows instead of one? Like, I mean, he was, you know, spitballing with me on phone. That's why he did it. He doesn't have that with Roman. There's not that other person right now. They'd love for Cody to be that guy. They'd love for Seth to be that guy. Sammy, some would argue, could be that person. I don't know beyond the bloodline if Sammy can or can't. So I guess that's my winding answer towards I think they're smart to have Roman hold both belts until Roman's not around. Because, Travis, if they split him up, the other belt holder is just going to pale in comparison. And we've seen that before. And I don't think that's as strong. I don't think that's as good as having this really, really clear-cut top star, which, you know, Hulk Hogan was, Bruno Sammartino was. Why mess with that? What do you think, Travis?
I think it's more important when you don't have a guy like who's Roman Reigns to, still having one singular champion at the place kind of revolves around, even if it's Cody Rhodes or even if it's Sami Zayn or even if it's whoever, Jey Uso, whoever that person is, it should be one of them. I hope we get a situation like we had in 02 where, you know, they had Jericho carry around both belts for months and months and months and months. And then finally, even though it didn't Triple H beat him, he even still carried around. It wasn't until, I guess, Hogan won the, whenever they bought the Undisputed title around in the spring of 02, before they then split them in the fall of 02. Or, you know, just get rid of the two titles, introduce a new, maybe Cody brings the Winged Eagle back, as rumors of that, or at least some online speculation. I don't know if it can be qualified as a rumor. Bring the Winged Eagle back, and he's just the WWE. You could call it whatever you want, undisputed, heavyweight, universal, whatever. And it's just him. And they don't have to.
But you are splitting in half. You're splitting the baby in half. I mean, you're saying there isn't just one world champion at that point. You've got two people claiming they're a champion, and it will water down.
Wait,
Roman.
What are you talking about? What?
No.
Cody beats Roman for both for the undisputed, whatever.
I thought when you said he's going to bring a belt back, we're getting the
no. When different. Okay. When he instead of Cody's now champion, he holds both those belts after WrestleMania. He beats Roman, and then in the course of the next however many weeks, he
merges them.
Merges them, and he brings the Wing title back, and that's the rumor.
Gotcha.
And he's just the – and you call him whatever you want, but it's just the one title, no splitsies. And he's the guy, and he goes back and forth on Raw and SmackDown like Roman's been doing the last 2-3 years.
Chris.
And the U.S. title still gets to be really awesome title that's respected and built up, and the same with the IC title on SmackDown.
And that's the thing, like right now we have the U.S. title and the IC title feeling more prestigious. We have an elimination chamber being dedicated to a secondary title, not a world title, which elevates it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so I guess, Chris, you know, my answer ultimately is keep the belt, have there be one world champion who flows between both brands. As long as you have somebody as strong as Roman or someone who you want to benefit from being the singular champion.
But see, that's where I'm getting hung up on your argument. Why Why? So you're saying if you have someone weaker than Roman, you weaken them even more by giving someone else another title?
Well, I'm saying if you don't have somebody as strong as Roman or as they hope Cody is, you might not want that person representing both brands at the same time, floating back and forth, which is kind of like what Roman's doing, although part-time.
He shouldn't be the champion, and he shouldn't leave it on Roman for another 1,000 days.
Well, he may not be up for that. If they don't have somebody who's real – well, go ahead, Chris. You want to shut it.
The only problem with that is what will keep Roman from, let's just say, Cody wins at Mania, and what will keep it being going back and forth between Roman and Cody, Roman and Cody, Roman and Cody? That's the only issue that you have.
Cody retaining his title. That's the easy answer. Cody.
Cody Roman feud that drawn out for months. Would fans get tired of it because Roman's getting shot after shot after shot? Because really, there's no one else besides them two, maybe three or four, possibly.
I think there'd be plenty of folks lining up to give Cody. I mean, just talk about the U.S. and IC title. I mean, Gunther is there. Bobby Lashley is there. Seth Rollins is there. I think they'd be fine if they had them in an extended feud, peppering in other folks. Or just give Cody fresh folks and Roman goes away for 6 months. However you do it, I think they're in the position to do any of those things and do it well.
It sounds like there is, you know, pretty closely internal discussion about this in consideration of the pros and cons of this. And I don't know that they know where they're going to be in a year and a half as far as these belts go. Because he's still carrying around two. You know, I mean, at any point they can do what you just said, Travis, and have, you know, the Roman or Cody have, you know what, why are we carrying around two belts? There's one champ. There's one world champion. Point's been made. Let's have one. And when they do that, you know, that seems to solidify the one floating champ. You can always have Eric Bischoff come back and hand someone a title. But, you know, that would seem to solidify it. But it feels like a little bit of a hedge, you know, still carrying around a one belt for Raw, the black one, and a blue one for SmackDown and all that. But, I mean, it, you know, added jewelry. It's a, you know, sort of a boxing thing. You got all the belts and all that. So I don't know. I don't know in a year and a half where they're going to be, and I don't think they know where they're going to be in a year and a half. I think they're calling it in the ring, so to speak, when it comes to this. They know they got a good thing with Roman right now, and whatever they have planned for Cody, I wish them the best of luck with it because, you know, Roman's a hard act to follow if you're the guy carrying around both belts or, as you say, Travis, you know, just unifying them into one. No matter what, you're still – that's a lot of pressure after how – successful Roman has been at the heel. And Travis, how many years did we spend talking about how awesome Roman would be as a heel? And tonight, he was just awesome as a heel.
Yeah, no, totally. But whoever it is going to have that. Even if it was an old standby like Seth Rollins, he'd have the same.
Oh no,
he has the same pressure.
It's not more
because at least. Again, Cody's more over than Seth is, at least as far as base. That's not fair. They're okay. But no, Cody is the featured guy, the guy that's getting the attention, the guy that the formula says he should win at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He is him.
All right, go ahead, Chris.
That's all I had for y'all guys. Thank y'all so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. If you're just joining us midstream and you want to join the conversation, please do. Push 1 if you've already called in, or you can call us if you're streaming the show, 347-215-8558. 347-215-8558. We'll go to Ryan in Cumberland, Maryland next. Ryan, thanks for holding. What's on your mind tonight?
I have a question about the Sami Zayn storyline. It might be one of the more important ones that you haven't talked about. It's that Roman wants to destroy Sami in front of his family. That's often not a topic that they discuss. Like Roman brought up that he has a wife. I never heard that before. And you know, like if he has brothers, sisters, kids, because that's sort of intriguing that he wants to destroy him in front of this large family that he was like naming everyone, like this large list in front of him today.
Yeah,
there was a article last year where about how Sammy did not want to bring his family into storylines like other wrestlers have. And that's changed with tonight's promo from Roman. I think it was on Talk Is Jericho, actually, but I thought I read the recap in an article where he's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about my wife and kids in wrestling storyline. But, I mean, Roman brought it up. It doesn't mean it's going to be any, you know, a big deal beyond what Roman said tonight, and then they don't even have to show his family on camera.
Right. They don't have to do Jungle Boy Christian or what, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but still, I mean, you know, I mean, Ryan has a point. It's not something that's been part of Sammy's character until now.
Yeah, I mean, I think a one-off in Montreal, his hometown. I think he's obviously, if they're even hinting at it, I think he's had a change of heart, at least for big spot kind of. If you're gonna not have your family involved until you know one moment, at least it's this and not just some cheesy thing that they're doing to try to get some heat on something that's not even over.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Ryan, what else?
I have a question on Uncle Howdy that showed up tonight real briefly. Do you ever see him teaming with Bray Wyatt? Maybe it's against, say, Roman and Sokoa or Drew or Sheamus, like maybe not necessarily like a full-time tag team, but to even the odds and like a rivalry he has.
I think that's a little bit off. I mean, we have to meet Uncle Howdy and, you know, really, I mean, they're slow rolling this character. I remember it was like September when we first heard this name because they applied for the copyright and we're like, oh, they got somebody named Uncle Howdy showing up. It's been a long time and I think it's going to continue. They're going to continue to slowly introduce the character. There's someone else even in the wings. There's another, I don't remember the other name at the same time that they also copyrighted at the same time they did Uncle Howdy, but something's coming and I don't know. I can't speculate on who's going to team with who against who. And because we have not even met the guy yet. We've only briefly seen him fly off of a platform or walk down the ring with the stupid smoke and the dumb laughter in the background. Yeah.
What'd you think of they aired the recap of what happened at the Rumble in the pitch black match, and then they showed Bray in a rocking chair and then a hand on his shoulder, and it was Uncle Howdy who flashed his face to the camera. This is somewhat glacially paced in terms of revealing what's going on, but does that confirm Bray and Uncle Howdy are together? Are we at that point? Or because Bray didn't seem startled that there was a hand on his shoulder and it was Uncle Howdy, but I didn't go back and like dissect his facial reaction. Where do you think we are with the Bray Howdy? Like, how would you explain to somebody who goes, oh, I'm going to start watching WWE again? They go, what's going on with this Bray thing? How would you even recap it?
I probably wouldn't try to talk about something else.
Well, but you've got to. Like, someone says, are Bray and Uncle Howdy a tag team? Are they together?
I'd say, I don't know. Yeah. They're purposefully keeping that vague. I mean, Howdy attacked them. LA Knight's done a decent job of being us. Going,
yeah,
one day you're, you know, one day you're friggin' I am he. And the next week, he's attacking you. And, you know, like, what the hell is going on? And yeah, what the hell is going on?
Are you being patient with it? Yeah, do you like it?
It's fine. It's Bray Wyatt. It's thought out. I think I will give them that. I don't think they're making it up as they go. I think this is thought out in weeks and months in advance and how they're going to approach things. It's just not my jam, but it's fine. And at the end of the pitch black match, I went, oh, they want to sell glow-in-the-dark masks. That's what this was about. And obviously soda, you know, Mountain Dew, want to sell Mountain Dew too, with the big campaign. But Like, oh, okay. As soon as you saw him put the different mask on, it was like, this is what this was about. And you have to understand those things. Bray does not have to be particularly, like, the best wrestler or the best, you know, what we might traditionally like. He needs to be there, be a colorful, and sell a bunch of crap. And that's what he does.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's good to point out he might just not be a traditional wrestling character, but that doesn't mean people can't crave more clarity and more of a reward for their investment in trying to figure out what's going on and not have a feeling that you're being asked to invest in this. The storyline is you know, stringing you along with the question of, oh, is he or is he not aligned with Uncle Howdy? They're prompting you to ask that question of yourself, because as you know, LA Knight was doing that. But you don't want to then and ultimately give off the vibe, yeah, we really don't know or don't care because he's just here to sell merchandise and be kind of a spooky, intriguing character, but we're really not sure where we're going either with it. Like, I think they should be held to a higher standard.
No, I think they do. I'm pretty sure they know where they're going with this. This is all paced out. I don't think that's what I said. I don't think they're making it up as they go along. I just think, and also a byproduct of Bray Wyatt's character, he pushes a lot of merch for them.
Yes, yes. But you want to pace it in a way that people don't think you're just making it up and you don't care about the details because we're just here to sell masks. Like, my point is you run the risk of giving off the impression to fans who will then become frustrated if it feels like that's what's happening.
Yeah, you know? I don't feel like that's happening. It is what's happening, but I don't. I mean, I don't think I don't think we're at that point where it's just where they're just, oh, they're just here to sell toys. Like, no, they care about Bray Wyatt. They want him to be over. Like, they wouldn't put all the effort and put the money into his set and all the props and things for him if they didn't have some faith that the guy could. You know, people do like Bray Wyatt. I might not. I mean, he's fine. I don't hate him.
I think they like the idea of what they hope he will be, and I think they're very often, unless they're really into cinematic, you know, outside the normal parameters of wrestling, if they're really into that stuff, yeah, then they're into it. But I think there's a lot of fans who like the idea of Bray, and they feel like they're always on the cusp of getting the Bray they want, and the belt rings and it's not what they want, or there's a storyline revelation or a promo and it doesn't have the clarity that they're looking for. And I think Bray is an intriguing, but also for a lot of people, a frustrating character.
I don't know. Bray Wyatt has been on WWE TV in some incarnation since 2010. If you're looking for something different as far as in-ring athlete Bray Wyatt, and you haven't seen that in 13 years and you're still – then that's on you. I mean, he is what he is. We're going to get what we're going to get. He's, yeah, come on.
And I think some people thought,
he's a decent wrestler. This isn't me trashing in-ring Bray Wyatt.
I think people, too, are like, Vince McMahon screwed him up, but now he'll be great. Like, you hear that a lot, too. And that's, you know, our people who were hoping for that getting that now. And I think that's still an open question.
I think people would be shocked at how much control Bray Wyatt had over his character while Vince McMahon was in charge. I think they think, oh, this is like everything else. This is Vince McMahon. He's all over this. I think Bray got so much leeway and creative control from Vince that the typical fan would be, that has any idea of how Vince works and all those, would be shocked at how free Bray Wyatt probably was with what he was able to do.
All right, Ryan, back to you.
I have a question on Natalya. With the Shiv being in Canada at the Elimination Chamber, what are the odds she wins that match, since Triple H is now booking and Vince McMahon was known for the wrestler losing in their hometown, but I wonder if Triple H feels a little bit differently.
Is she in Montreal too?
No.
Yeah, I thought it was like Calgary or something. But still, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but having her win to be in the chamber match is a nice gesture, but she doesn't have to win the chamber. For it's not insulting to Canada if she's in the chamber, it doesn't come out on top. And I just don't think that's the point that she's at in her career to be getting a WrestleMania single title match.
And because it's Natalya, no matter who's in charge, she might get booked for the match And then they have Shayna Baszler attack her and break her arm before the match and throw her out of the pod and throw herself in. And now Shayna Baszler's in the match, which I'd rather see anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if Natalya headlined and, or, you know, got a title match at WrestleMania, it's not, I mean, there's enough depth to the WrestleMania card, and they got 2 months to tell that story. Maybe you can tell it. Natalya's a good worker, and she's been around a long time, and it's not, I guess there's other matches people want to see, but I don't think that's knocking off a singular, obvious game changer for WrestleMania, and how dare they detour from it by putting Natalya in that spot. If for some reason, if they had some reason they wanted to do it and they believed in it, it's not like it's displacing something, you know, 10 times better by doing it. I don't think it's going to happen, though, Ryan. Ryan, anything else for us?
Okay. Final question is on Gunther. With them announcing that Fatal 4-Way, I don't see anyone that's really credible at beating Gunther. Is the Honky Tonk Man's title reign, as far as being the longest reigning champion, in danger at this point, do you think?
Well, how long was Honky Tonks compared to Gunther at this point? I don't even know the timeline of what we're looking at.
I think you might be 8 months. It's probably like a better 8 months or 7 months in that range.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that. I mean, Gunther would be worth having erasing the Honky Tonk Man thing from history and having Gunther be that guy. Gunther's a guy who there's money matches with him if they do things right with him, and having him be this long reigning dominant IC champion is just, you know, it's one way to establish that. Travis?
Yeah, I like Gunther. I thought he was overrated and just a big meathead guy who, you know, was kind of overly stiff. but, you know, he's come, even from that guy, he's just, who was very much over with a certain audience, I should say. He's good. he's come so far, and just presentation, how he carries himself. He's refined that. He hasn't lost. He's somehow been in WWE for years and years and hasn't lost that, you know, keeps his head held high and it's legit. And he's, you know, a beast, an unstoppable kind of character, and he's not named Brock Lesnar or, to a lesser extent, Braun Strowman or something. Like, Gunther's legit.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, cool. Did you have anything else, or is that it?
That's everything. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing. Thanks. All right, we'll go to Kyle in Baltimore next. Kyle, what's on your mind tonight?
So for watching the reaction towards, I thought I watched the reaction with when Roman mentioned Cody Rhodes, like, finally ever, the first time in his life to mention him, the fans booed. So they clearly they don't want to have Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns at all. And the fact they're doing this match in Montreal with Sami Zayn, I just think it's just going to expand after the Elimination Chamber. I can't see a scenario where they're going to instantly have Sami Zayn and Roman and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. The fact is, I understand that you know, people really love Cody Rhodes, and this is a good redemption story, but kind of like what I kind of mentioned on Monday, where I just feel like that, you know, and it is unfortunate that he got injured, because if he ever gotten injured, probably he would be bigger than he already is. He's getting cheered now, and that's all well and good in terms of on Monday, but again, I said this on Monday, leading into the chamber, leading into WrestleMania, it just seems like I watch what he did with Sammy, I watch what he's doing with Roman Reigns and all this stuff, and I'm also just thinking to myself, okay, if you do the match in Elimination Chamber, he loses, people will still be all hype for Sami Zayn. I don't know if they're going to be all that interested in Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns' story. Like, because what is the story that they're going to tell between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes beyond the fact that what Rhodes has been saying, that he just wants to be champion for his father. What do you think about that situation, since they're going to do that, and how will people will care with that match if that, since that'll be the direction towards it, since people are hyped for Cody Rhodes?
Well,
yeah, so what do you think about all that?
First of all, it's not my job to figure that out, but it is my job to watch it happen and react to it and analyze it. I'm intrigued by it. I'm excited to see Roman talk about somebody else. I'm excited to see him talk about Cody. Cody's an alpha, former, you know, co-founder of what led to AEW. He was an EVP. He's got the Rhodes family legacy. He's got a history with WWE where people have seen him rise through the ranks. And as he acknowledged Monday, tried different personas, different gimmicks. I'm curious what they latch onto, how they tell that story, and how Cody does standing opposite of Roman, cutting promos. Cody is not short on self-confidence and bravado and self-aggrandizement without blinking. And that's needed against somebody that's the level and stature and credibility of Roman Reigns. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know for sure it's going to work and be great. I think there's potential for that. But it's a fresh dynamic, and it's you know, two people very similar in age, crossing paths, having taken very different paths in this business, but some similarities too. You know, both went through being booed as baby faces. Travis, what do you think? What are you looking forward to? What do you expect?
Yeah, I'm going to let them tell the story. I'm not primed to boo. And I, again, we're headed into the Rumble. I was ABC, anybody but Cody. But I'm not looking to boo the guy. I'm not, like, ready to – I'm not like, oh, I can't wait till till the crowd turns on him. One, because I don't think they're going to. I think he's in a position and over enough where enough people are ready for change and ready for something different. And, again, like you just said, it's a fresh take. What story are they going to tell? I don't know, but I'm certainly going to give them the chance to tell it. I think they can come up with something compelling. Like, I don't think that's a long shot that creatively they're going to have. Ooh, what are they going to come up with? Well, they'll come up with something. You know, talented, smart folks that know how to book talent and know how to manipulate the personalities and all that. And I'm sure we'll be here last week of March, first week of April, excited to see Cody versus Roman at Mania.
I'm looking forward to the minds that came up with the Sammy Bloodline storyline, putting their minds and energy and attention to making Cody Roman seem like a massive WrestleMania main event. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kick back and enjoy it. Kyle, back to you.
For me, I'm personally not a Cody Rhodes fan, so I just it'll just be interesting how he would be as champion. I just get the sense that I feel like Cody Rhodes is going to be somewhat similar to Bianca Belair, where people want her to be the champion, but we've seen how her run has been. So I just feel like there are probably similarities to his run if he does win at WrestleMania. That's just my feeling towards it. So, but I guess we'll see. I don't know, but that's just how I feel about it. I talked about Charlotte and her match with Rhea heading into them, and then her match with tonight with Sonya. I thought it was fine. I thought it was, you know, I was watching this. I was like, okay, I thought that Charlotte was going to cut a promo and talk towards, you know, to Rhea as well, for, you know, to play that scene for on Charlotte, and as well to knowing that she's facing Rhea. So, what do you think about this whole dynamic? Is there a good possibility? Is there an idea for Rhea to, if she does win, to be on SmackDown? Because also will make sure, like, let's have all the Judgment Day over the SmackDown to have Dominic and Ray, so what happened tonight with the whole the thing back, you know, behind this during the go-kart thing or race car thing, whatever. So is that a possibility of an idea of the whole Judgment Day going to SmackDown if and when, I believe, Rhea's going to win the championship at WrestleMania. What do you think about that dynamic?
Travis?
I didn't think about that. I think you can be, like, the faction doesn't have to all just up and move to SmackDown. I think you could send folks with Rhea, Dominic specifically, while she's champion on SmackDown, and still have, you know, Priest and Finn on Raw doing whatever they're going to be doing on Raw. But it wouldn't be the worst thing if the whole faction, again, like I said, got up and moved to SmackDown and were exclusively, or at least for the most part, on SmackDown. Either way, I don't... that'd be some clout for Rhea that she got all her dudes to pick up and move for her.
Yeah.
And on the strength of, you know, mommy's making the big bucks because, you know, so come on. Like, why wouldn't they? And if they play it like, yeah, totally. Makes sense to us. You know, I think that's, you know, just doing and not even saying it and making a big deal out of it on TV, like they've done with the relationship with Rhea's position. She's the leader of Judgment Day. Like, there's no real, you could say, well, no, they're all kind of tri-leaders. Like, no, Rhea kind of, you know, moves and shakes that faction. But it's fine. Like, that's, you don't even have to make a big deal out of it. It just is. I don't remember the thing before Rhea, if you had another question before Judgment Day.
Kyle, did you?
I think you did.
I was just all about having, also having, resuming the rivalry between Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio.
And the race cars, yeah. The race car stuff was silly and campy and...
Yeah, perfect. To me... Like, I can understand, maybe people in a NASCAR are rolling their eyes at it. I don't know. That's not a big thing for me at all. But it took a little away from it because it felt like it was it wasn't tongue-in-cheek on purpose, but it was, you know, oh, Ray's here to do a promotional thing, but, you know, Judgment Day and Dominic showed up, so now we're going to race cars when Dominic was arrested for, you know, it's just like, I don't know.
They showed up with their own...
Yeah,
heel NASCAR
driver.
Guy.
Yeah, I mean,
like, what a position to be in. Like, yeah, we're gonna put you with these guys who are, you know,
and
we're gonna make fun of this legend. And I'm sure they all had a laugh and got together before the thing and worked it out. But just the idea, it was just silly.
Cole seemed almost like, I'm not gonna endorse this. Like the way he threw to it and reacted to it. Like NASCAR this Sunday on Fox. Mm-hmm. All right, back to business. So I don't know. To me, that's like, that's when somebody comes in from the marketing department into a booking meeting and they're like, it's a great idea. And you're like, oh God. No,
what was Finn Balor? He was like so over the top in his reaction to the loss. He like threw his hat down. It was like it was a black and white, you know, Steamboat Willie type cartoon where he's just over emoting. It was just it was odd, but it was fun. It was cute.
It was cute, but I don't know if I want Rey. And by the way, did they ever explain what happened to Rey at the Rumble?
Nope. Because I thought this. I was like, oh, Rey's fine enough to wrestle in a week from today. But he was. I mean, that happens. Injuries. You know, he's not a spring chicken. But
what's the storyline? Did he get attacked? Did he?
Well, yes, they did.
What did they say?
They did on Raw. The Judgment Day had a passing line about alluding to that they beat Rey up. Like, oh, Dom.
Rey's willing to then settle this by doing something he doesn't do professionally, and that is be part of a race.
The most controlled, no risks taken, as it shouldn't be. I don't want him out there. You know, bump it in. Like the guy said, you need to rub some paint. Like, no, they absolutely do not need to rub paint. Danny friggin' Waltrip. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we didn't have Sammy and Roman doing a NASCAR race. Like, I mean, that was, but bringing that up as an example shows what this did to the Ray Dominic feud, because if it isn't appropriate for an intense, serious feud, that says something. And, you know, showing up and doing a little play race in race cars and fantasy driver camp is it diminishes whatever was going on with Ray and Dominic. I get Fox wanted it, and if that's the case, they probably made the best of it. But it's, yeah. And then, you know, you said Finn was acting weird. I mean, Xavier and Kofi were just like,
but that's, you get that. That's them. I'll
complain every time about it. I think it's basic. I think it's demeaning. I think it's just embarrassing.
It's more embarrassing because none of you, I'm willing to bet none of y'all give a damn about race cars or anything. So the idea that you guys are out there whooping it up and, yeah, like this is the best thing ever. Like, I don't buy that. But I would
find it obnoxious if they were cheering video game playing, because they're, you know, Xavier's into that, and that's how he was cheering. I'd still find it. I'd still find it obnoxious. Okay. But at least he wasn't playing the trombone. All right, cool. Kyle, appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks for it.
Yeah, of course. All right, so just like happened Wednesday, we're going to have our on-site report via email. Brad apologized that he's losing cell phone service, driving his friends to drop them off. Same thing happened Wednesday, but he did send some thorough notes. So let's hit this. He said, we were in the upper bowl. The arena was packed and sold out, not an empty seat in the place. By the way, Travis, I thought they lit the building and shot the building really well. Like, I thought that, you know, that arena, they made it look major league. They got the right angles. And it just felt like a big time show. Did you pick up on that?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why it jumped out to me more than usual, but I thought they chose some different camera angles. And this, I don't think the arena has a club like the luxury suite separating
it's full on. Like, it's just all seats.
Yeah.
No major breaks in the seating.
Yeah. Just, you know, more of a 60s, 70s era building. And, or, you know, mid-sized market building where you don't need luxury suites. So, yeah, it looked cool. It was different. They opened with the arena. They opened in the arena with Madcap Moss against Deshante the Adonis. I'm including this because the reaction Madcap Moss received. I'm not sure if it was because everyone was so excited for the show or what, but when Madcap got the win, the crowd reaction was completely insane. It's as if that match was for the world title. It really took a lot of people in our section by surprise. That's going to happen just the first babyface who comes out at a big taping. And, you know, Greenville's like, we're live on Fox for a SmackDown, and we're all excited, and this is a big deal coming after the Rumble. And then the first babyface comes out. He's going to get a big pop almost no matter what. That's kind of the way things work, right, Trev?
Yeah, sounds pretty standard.
The main show overall was pretty slow and lackluster. Braun got a really good reaction early from his entrance all the way until he got the hot tag that led to him and Ricochet winning. I'll pause there and ask you, Travis, what you think about the Braun Ricochet team. I don't think I'm as excited about it as Michael Cole, who's a little over the top, but I get why he's saying it, and I actually think it's an unexpected team that is working. And I like that they're, you know, that Wade Barrett is, you know, is saying, you know, these are circus performers. You got the Giant and the Acrobat, who you wouldn't think would get along, but because they're so different, they provide a challenge to any of their opponents, and they seem to have chemistry, and they seem to be getting along. I actually kind of like the team, and I think it's a good use of both compared to them being in singles. What do you think?
Yeah, and they even acknowledged how they even got put together, that Strowman was on Twitter running his mouth about Flippy Do wrestlers, and Ricochet took umbrage, and they had, you know, and then they came together, had some conversations, and now they're pals. Like, that's totally what happened, and you don't need much more of why are these guys teaming? It just was kind of like real life bled into wrestling, and they took advantage of it, and they're an exciting team.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kaiser von Steuben appreciated that Senton off the top, good Lord, shoulders. He didn't roll through, he just splatted the guy with his ass and back.
Yeah, I was kind of off balance, too, before it. All right, the Roman Reigns segment at the end kept everyone on the edge of their seat in suspense. Roman got very loud, mixed reactions. He was cheered positively through his entrance, but then once he started his promo, the crowd turned on him. The what chant really loud in the arena. It seemed to throw Roman off his game for a second. Yeah, Roman stumbled a couple times. It's just his wording, he stumbled a couple times.
I thought he perfectly just ran through it and didn't do the cadence where you're giving him opportunity to say what every – he just – talked in his regular sentences and completely obliterated the timing and everything for the folks. And then he was able to just do what he yes, but he did. There were a few times where he said the thing, and then it was like, and then he said the opposite or something. I forget how it went, but he said,
yeah,
you know, he said yes when he was supposed to, he should have said no. And just played it off as if he said no the whole time and didn't even – whether he just blew through it or he didn't even catch the mistake himself. He just – you know, it was just one of those kind of things that happens when you're excited and passionate about a thing you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to remember what the topic was and if it's the same thing you're talking about. But, Yeah, there was some point where he said something, he goes, but, and then he said something, it's like, well, wait, that's not contradictory.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, so, and maybe that is what Brad, our on-site correspondent, is referring to. But he said, the Sammy spot got a monstrous reaction. In my opinion, Cody has a long way to go to get those kinds of reactions. So, yeah, we'll see. This is fun. By the way, we ran a poll at pwtorch.com asking who you would rather see headline WrestleMania. Sami Zayn or Cody. And I just kept it those two because I just wanted to see the contrast between them because somebody in the commentary said, oh, I want Seth Rollins, that kind of thing. But over 400 votes in and Sami Zayn getting two-thirds of the vote, 67%, Cody one-third. I don't think that's too bad for Cody, honestly, because it's not like people voting for Sami hate Cody. They're just saying, fresh off this hot turn, this hot climax of an angle, Cody still got a third of the vote. So, you know, I actually think that's sort of a win for Cody, given the timing of asking the poll. I was kind of thinking it'd be like 85-15. Travis, how about you?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's really a victory, and that was a Torch poll, you said?
Yeah, Torch website.
Right. So these are in the know fans that are. This is not a casual bunch. Yes.
Oh, you're
casual
totally overrating
bunch.
Our readership.
Well, I think if you ask,
no, I'm joking.
If you did ask a casual bunch, it would be the other way. It would be 66% Cody.
Do you think so?
I think so. I think if you did, I'm telling you, if you were at Access or something like that, and you said who would you rather have main event in WrestleMania, I think you're going to get
Access is also hardcore though.
That's
I mean,
that's
I,
true,
got,
but it's also kids and you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying people are going to like, you know, spit at Cody, but if there's an autograph line and you got to choose between Sammy and Cody and there's a fork in the road, I think more people being ushered into a fan fest are going to wait a little extra longer to get Sammy's autograph, even with all of Cody's history in this business. But there's going to be a line for Cody. Don't get me wrong. I think the line would still be longer for Sammy right now.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. After the show went off the air, they had the OC versus Jimmy Uso and Solo, and the Bloodline won very quickly. And then they had a Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight hardcore match. Bray got a really loud reaction when they announced this match. Bray won in about 6 minutes by putting LA Knight through a table with a choke slam. By the way, that's cool. They did dark matches. They don't always do that, but when you end with a talking segment, you know, I think you got to have some wrestling. He said they were selling new Sami Zayn T-shirts and advertising it pretty hard in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
He says, next time they're in the arena, I'll definitely make sure I can call in. Thank you, Brad. No, that's what we're looking for. Is that kind of those kinds of notes? I don't know that I have a lot more than I would have asked him. Cool. Okay. Let's just wrap up here with a couple emails and just a couple other things I want to bring up that we didn't cover otherwise. Briar from Council Grove, Kansas said, hi, Wade. I am commenting on the NASCAR segment. I've been a fan of NASCAR ever since I was a little kid, and I'm now a media member of the sport for the past couple of years. Anytime my two favorite sports collide together, I sometimes cringe and have the TV muted because I just don't like the segments and don't like the two worlds colliding together. Keep up the great work. Well, was this one of those times, Briar? I can't ask him that. I assume he's saying he cringed. But
sounds like it, yeah.
I thought he'd go, I sometimes cringe, but... I was
this was awesome.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, but this was cute. This was fun. This was harmless. We didn't get that. All right, we already talked about that. Okay, here. JB for Detroit says, who do you think has a more likely chance to be a single star after the Brawling Brutes go their own separate ways? Butch or Ridge Holland? As always, love the show. Go VIP, everyone. Travis.
I got a Butch because he just has more personality. He has more personality out of the ring. He has certainly more personality in ring, his in-ring charisma. Like Ridge Holland is just, you know, Brock Lesnar in 2002 without the, you know, talent. Or without the overwhelming talent that Brock
yeah.
But he yeah. just gives me this vibe. He's built like him. He has the same kind of haircut. But he's just not Brock. You know, it, no matter how, he's fine. But Pete Dunne, Butch is, if I'm picking between those two, it's not a hard call for me.
I don't think either of them are going to be big stars. But yeah, I think Butch, he's just too talented. But he's good at playing the Butch character. You know, like, I just think he's going to be good at what he's asked to do. And Ridge just, yeah, we just haven't seen enough from Ridge yet to get any sense that he can do more than, you know, than be the bland half of a tag team, you know, who's you know, credible and tough and an ass kicker, but
he's speaking of 2002 Brock Lesnar, he's Ron H2O Waterman, like who used to team
yeah.
with Brock on house shows before he debuted in the spring of 2002. He's just a big old guy who can, well, Ron Waterman probably could work a lot better than Ridge Holland, but you know, who can work a little bit and ain't going too far, you know, but at least
yeah.
Ridge is on TV and Ron Waterman never really made it to TV.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the Viking Raiders Brawling Brutes match and the little angle afterwards with Drew and Sheamus showing up to beat him up?
I thought that was the low light of a very average, you know, hour and 40 minutes of a pro wrestling show. Again, it could be my expectations. I really was excited to watch SmackDown tonight. And it was just there. I think it for folks that are tuning in because they heard there's a hot angle or they saw clips or whatever, I think Monday they did a little bit better of a job, but I don't think they did a great job of getting people to watch next week because of the other things that they saw outside of Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn in the last, you know, 12, 15 minutes of the show. I thought Sonya and Charlotte had an uninspired match. I thought this Viking Raiders thing, I can't tell you a ton because I took that time to do something else. It was like there. I assume the Viking Raiders won because they've been getting, you know, a bit of a push, and it's the Brawling Brutes. They haven't, so
yeah.
And just nothing was really compelling on the show until they got to Roman and Sammy. So, yeah.
I think the follow up to such a hot angle on Saturday built well throughout the show. And I thought the skits with Roman talking to the team, grilling Jimmy, it felt believable. No one's talked to Jay. Let him cool off. He's a hothead. We're trying to reach him. It's going to voicemail. Can't get a hold of him. Reigns kind of, you know, taking a tone, then apologizing later for it. You know, we got to see him work through the emotions of what happened. Said you're looking forward to the show and had high expectations. Did you run through in your mind a scenario or have an expectation of a different type of follow-up from Roman in particular over what happened with Sammy? Because a lot of the focus was on Jay and not Sammy in those segments. And I get Jay is closer. He's family. Sammy wasn't. But the initial, you know, we spent an hour 45 minutes of the Bloodline being pretty focused on Jay and kind of not addressing what happened with Sammy. And Sammy is the central figure as much as Jay has been fantastic the last couple of years. Talk about that. Like, do you think that made sense? Were you hoping for something very different specifically?
A little bit. Like, headed in, I try not to draw up scenarios or kind of fantasy book in my own head, because that's how you get yourself in trouble and get pissed off because they didn't do the thing that I thought they should, you know.
And there's always more than one way to do something well, and if they just don't do your way, it doesn't mean what they did was wrong. I think a lot of people get hung up on that, yeah.
But when I did like Jimmy at least going when he said, I'm going to ask you, when Roman said, I'm going to ask you one more time, where's your brother? And Jimmy said, and I'm going to tell you again. I don't know.
Like, he leaned forward.
Yeah, yeah. He did. And it's like, I wish Sammy would have had some of that energy the last few interactions with Roman. And, you know, I guess it all came out tonight for 5 to 7 specific seconds. And then, you know, until he got shut down.
I don't like the term fantasy book. I think it gets thrown around in ways that isn't fair, because sometimes you want to put a scenario out there for the sake of conversation as an alternate to what they did. And that's not, like, to me, fantasy booking is like laying down with a roster full of wrestlers, regardless of what's planned 6 months from now and the backstage issues and contract issues, and just going, here's a dream card and they should do this. Like, that, to me, that's fantasy booking. Creating and putting a scenario out there that's different for the sake of sparking a conversation and contrasting with what they did, I think is sound analysis, and it's a good approach to take. And I say that as a lead into this, because I think what I would have liked to have heard from Sammy at the beginning of his promo is something about how I was with you and you know I would have done anything for you, but you went too far. You went too far, and have him almost seem torn up about it. Like, he just seems so okay with not being in the Bloodline and being an enemy of Roman. We're not hearing him acknowledge that it must have hurt, no matter how dysfunctional his relationship was with Heyman and Reigns and the Usos and Solo to a degree. It still should seem like it's still something he's coping with. Even if you're in a bad relationship and you get out of it, you were in it, mm-hmm. And there should be something that, you know, you wouldn't expect 6 days later to see this person who got out of a long relationship or, you know, whatever, you know, and just being like, I hate that person. You're like, no, you were with them. There's mixed feelings. And I didn't get the sense there was any sort of mixed feelings or disappointment or I'm still reconciling what happened, but damn it, I wasn't thinking clear, and you pushing me to try to go that far, I was, you know, it created clarity. Like, I just something, like, I'm not putting exact words to it because I'm not trying to write a promo, but
sure.
I was looking for something like that from Sammy, and instead it's just like, I never want anything from you, but now I want something. I just, that didn't serve the backstory to me as well. Again, it wasn't bad. It's going to work great. This isn't like trashing it. I'm just saying, again, kind of going full circle to the top of the show, that specifically is, I guess, putting words to what I was looking for a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I could understand that completely.
By the way, Breyer said, yes, I cringed at the segment. He emailed back. He's listening. Thanks, Breyer. He goes, but I did chuckle when Dominic chucked the helmet at Ray. I did enjoy that, too.
Yeah, it's like, fam, that's the, like, chill. Those helmets are vicious.
Yeah.
Ray got his hands up. And I'm sure his palms were stinging a little bit.
Yeah. All right, cool. Anything else from SmackDown you want to bring up, Travis, before we sign off here?
No, I think we hit all the notes. Where's Shinsuke Nakamura, Wade?
I don't know. I was just wondering
When Boogs came back and they showed the highlight, I was like, oh yeah, wasn't he hanging out with Shinsuke? Where's Shinsuke been?
Yeah,
and
Boogs. I mean, he's
back
before
Shinsuke.
He's 42 and
oh, he did the. Wasn't he in Japan recently in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, but I don't think that stops him from. I mean,
but it's just like not involved with anything is what I'm saying. But there's no real reason for him to.
Oh right, yeah, yeah. He is not
be on TV or involved, especially.
I mean, I guess I think Shinsuke is a special enough talent, even at his age and with his, you know, he's sort of checked out of wanting to be great anymore. But, and he's beat up and all that. But I still think he's a special enough talent that I guess I'd rather have him show up and be part of something meaningful instead of just hanging out.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Do we get an Andre Battle Royal this year?
I assume so. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Travis, thanks. Everyone, go VIP so you can hear him talk with Rich every week on the now VIP exclusive. Well, it's been a VIP portion for a long time, but you know, now you can't hear anything for free, so you gotta go VIP. All right, thanks, Travis.
Thanks, Wade. Appreciate
it. Have a good weekend. Yep.